So the East Coast gas market is it's on the cusp of a major transformation.
Well, you call it a game changer, don't you?
Yes. It used to be a market where gas would be sold at probably $2.50 to $3 a gigajoule. Now, once you link that market, which was sitting over a massive gas resource, to the rest of the world, then you move towards being exposed to international gas prices through LNG. And that historically has been linked to oil prices. So the big change there is moving from gas sitting at $3 a gigajoule to potentially much higher prices.
So this will all start when we start exporting LNG, say from those processing facilities under construction at Curtis Island.
It's actually started already. You can see the current contracts that have been signed are already being signed at, you could call it LNG netback price. So if you think about the LNG price delivered to the customer, say in South Korea or Japan, you can subtract from there the shipping costs, the LNG plant costs, all on a per gigajoule basis, and then you end up with a gas price, for example, at Wallumbilla.
Of what?
That typically has been in the range, moving towards the range of $7 to $9 a gigajoule.
Tennant Reid, I'll come to you. You're with the Australian Industry Group. Your members, what are they telling you about their concerns of what they might have to end up paying for gas domestically here in Australia?
Well, it's absolutely true that this price rise is happening as we speak. There is a vast resource of gas in the ground. The question is, how quickly can it come out of the ground, and how well does that match up with the rate of increase in demand? So the gas export sector on the East Coast, once it's fully up and running, will be sucking up twice as much gas as the existing domestic market in total. And that increase is happening very quickly. Now, the companies have been proving up resources and developing those as fast as they can in anticipation of this.
They want to meet those expectations.
They do. There is a widespread perception, which not everybody agrees with, that they are behind where they expected to be in terms of the amount of gas that they have flowing from the resources they've developed. And that is why some of them are going into, say, the South Australian market and contracting gas that was thought to be available for sale to domestic customers. Now, this is an area which is rife with commercial confidentiality and high stakes, and everyone's very quiet about what their own situation might be.
Well, it's very hard to get one of the companies to comment on this.
That's right. But if there's a wider issue across the market, and that could potentially see, for a time, gas prices rise above the export price parity levels that we were talking about. That risk has been identified by the federal government in their recent domestic gas market study. They're not saying it's guaranteed to happen, but it is a very real risk unless we get enough gas flowing. Given that we are living through a time when there is this transient supply risk, which was not adequately, if at all, considered when the current projects were getting the go-ahead, we think it's just common sense before any expansion in LNG export capacity is proposed in the future, and it could happen with the Arrow project. It might not happen for many years. There's all sorts of views on cost structure for the industry. But when it happens, the federal government and the Queensland government and any other governments who are involved should look at what is the impact if this project goes ahead on domestic supply. Will there be enough supply? Have risks to that supply been adequately assessed?
Do you think those questions have been asked adequately so far, Tennant?
No. We are very much looking for the horse after it has long gone from the paddock.